Evan Bray Show. The Round Table of Justice.
Welcome back to the program. Evan Bray on this Monday morning, and Monday at 10 o'clock is the signal that we are going to stop down for an hour and talk about something justice-related, something to do with the law. We do this every Monday, and we've had a variety of different topics and a variety of different guests from different walks of life. I have, over the last few months, had my attention caught by the notion of cattle theft. I mean, this isn't something that most people think about until it either A, happens to them, or they have someone that they know, or maybe there's a big news story. But for producers across Saskatchewan, it is a concern. Absolutely. We know what the price of beef is, what the price of cattle is doing right now. So it can mean thousands of dollars lost. It can mean stress. It can be, of course, just a violation on your property as well. And this isn't just about missing cattle. It's about rural crime. It's about food supply integrity, and it's about how hard it can be to protect animals spread across vast distances and in a big open area. Today, we're going to take a closer look at cattle theft from a few different angles, how it happens, how it's investigated, what's being done to prevent it, and where the system may be falling short. We've got a panel of experts with backgrounds in regulation, prevention, investigation to help us understand what is going on and what producers and communities can do to protect themselves. And as always, we encourage, if you've got a question you would like to text in as we're chatting, 1-877-332-8255 is the number. So I've got three great guests, two joining me by phone, one joining me in studio today. I'll start in studio. The Saskatchewan RCMP have a designated livestock investigator, and that person is Corporal Owen Third, who joins me in studio. Owen, thank you for being here.
Yep, thanks for having me, Evan.
Great to have you here. Chad Ross has been on our program before. In fact, on our program during Agribition, when we were down live at Agribition. He is the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattle Association. He joins us from his office in Estevan. Chad, thanks for taking the call.
Yes, good morning, Evan.
And Livestock Services of Saskatchewan East District Manager from Mooseman, Saskatchewan, Hugh Garrett. Hugh, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Maybe, Hugh, I'll start with you. Can you give us a sense of how serious cattle theft is in Saskatchewan today compared to, let's say, a decade ago? Is it moving one way or the other?
The theft is more noticeable, especially with the increased value in the livestock, where if there was a missing animal before, maybe not necessarily reported, where it's very important at this time to report it to livestock services so we can follow up on missing animals with the value of them. And as there's a more positive price in the industry going forward, it is obviously more people are looking at theft.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Chad, just to bring you into this conversation through the Saskatchewan Cattle Association, I'm sure this is a topic of conversation at meetings and conventions. Often when we talk about crime, we talk about what the reality is and then what the perception is. And sometimes one can fuel the fear more than other. Is this a serious problem, or is this a problem that, while is serious, is maybe taking on a bit of a life of its own? Can you speak to reality versus perception, Chad?
Well, as we look out at the spread out nature of Saskatchewan, you know, rural crime can be a real challenge, you know, for our law enforcement. And so, you know, there is pockets in Saskatchewan that are very concerned of not only cattle theft, but other theft on livestock operations. And so it is serious. And, you know, we don't want to blow it out of proportion, but Saskatchewan Cattle Association has long lobbied for the position of the livestock inspector, and we are very happy that as of 2023, Corporal Owen Third joined us and as our livestock inspector, and has done a wonderful job in representing us and a place to go in these types of situations.
Owen, let's bring you into the conversation. If I look back at the history of the RCMP, I'm sure a cattle rustling investigator, you know, you think back to the Wild West, that was a big part of it. I'm interested to know about your job and the evolution of this job. How is it that the RCMP have come to have a cattle investigator?
Yeah, I think, I mean, As Chad mentioned, I've been here for doing this job for just over 3 years. Prior to that, maybe because of the increased value, producers and you know, people like Chad and organizations, associations got together to lobby for one. But I mean, yeah, there's always been someone in the past doing it, maybe not to the extent of my involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But it would fall on, if there was a theft down in the Bengough area, it would probably fall on just the RCMP officers that would work down there prior to them designating a position.
Yeah, no, that's I guess. Well, really what this position does for, I guess, for the province is I'm a support unit for our detachments.
Okay.
So let's use Bengough, file out of Bengough. The Bengough detachment will be the holder of that file.
Yeah.
In some situations, it's Livestock Services who notifies me mm-hmm. of an irregularity or a theft or, you know, sure. some sort of cattle issue. And in some cases, I'm notified by detachments. I do get calls directly, which, yeah.
Right. So when we're talking about, this is Owen Third, who I was just chatting with. He's a corporal with the RCMP, the livestock investigator. Also have Chad Ross from the Saskatchewan Cattle Association and Hugh Garrett from Livestock Services of Saskatchewan. Hugh, maybe I'll come back to you. When we are talking about theft of cattle, you know, I think what a lot of people probably first and foremost wonder, if you're not involved in any way in the industry, is how is that happening? Is this, you know, people going out and cutting fence wires and actually physically stealing the cattle there? Is it happening as they're being shipped to market? Hugh, can you give us a sense of kind of the points of contact in which there's a vulnerability to theft?
I think it's now in the modern equipment, like four-wheel drive trucks, ground load trailers, steel panels, ATVs. We all use a lot, greatly benefit anyone who may be inclined to harbor steal animals. And livestock historically a very liquid commodity that is easy to sell without a brand. And so I think we are seeing more opportunists. And as Chad had commented, that, you know, we're spread out more, there's more rural area. And I think in this case, we are seeing more and more opportunists, and that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Are there parts of the province, Chad, that are more vulnerable to this, or maybe operations that are more vulnerable to this?
Well, operations that don't brand obviously would be, you know, be more at risk. You know, there's more crime in certain areas, I would think, but Owen could comment on that better. But the, you know, if we just think about the value of these animals, and people would see the cattle liners that run up and down the road, you know, the value of them is, you know, between $350,000 and $500,000 on that particular truck, you know. So there's a lot of value in these cattle right now. And so it is a attractive means of theft at this point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe talk us through kind of the start of an investigation. And I'm talking about one where it's believed the cattle have been stolen from the ranch, from the farm that they're on. What are some of the common things that you're looking for, Owen, in terms of how you would do this investigation?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to actual cattle theft, if we're talking theft, what I've found and in working with Hugh and his office with LSS is they're crimes of opportunity. As Chad mentioned, unbranded cattle. So in those situations, you know, it's difficult because the cattle are unbranded. We're looking for some pretty solid evidence to support, you know, who the owners are, that, you know,
yeah.
that sort of thing. They can be difficult, but luckily we've had success in a few of those cases in the last couple of years.
So. Well, knowing what I know about rural Saskatchewan, it's rare that someone doesn't recognize a vehicle that seems out of place driving down the grid. I mean, I think about the farm that I grew up on. You knew if there was a vehicle that didn't seem to fit. And maybe that's where we're up against our first break, but maybe that's where we'll go when we come back. Is this as bold as neighbors stealing neighbors' cattle, or is this organized out of province crime? What is this looking like? That's where we'll start with Corporal Owen Third when we come back. To other great guests, Chad Ross, the Saskatchewan Cattle Association, Hugh Garrett, Livestock Services of Saskatchewan, and we are talking cattle theft for the hour on the Roundtable of Justice here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right. The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Welcome back. Today's Roundtable of Justice is talking about cattle theft, and I've got three great guests. Hugh Garrett joining us from Moose Bend, Saskatchewan. He is the East District Manager of Livestock Services of Saskatchewan. I've also got Chad Ross from Estevan this morning. He is the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattle Association. And joining me in studio is Corporal Owen Third, who is with the Saskatchewan RCMP as a livestock investigator. And Corporal Third, what we were talking about going into the break is how they are out there stealing these cattle, especially on ranch or on farm. Is it organized, or is this a random, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, someone in the community who knows there's a big herd of cattle there and is going and stealing, or is this people from other parts of the province or maybe even outside of the province?
Yeah, so I guess what we found, again, as I mentioned, crime of opportunity. I wouldn't say it's people traveling very far. I think it's loose cattle, no brands. Let's see if we can get away with it, sort of a deal, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't found that it's people traveling far distances with, as Hugh indicated, you know, panels, ground load trailers, that sort of thing, ATVs. But with that being said, you know, there are the missing reports come in pretty steady in the fall once producers learn that you know, they are missing cattle. Now, community pastures, yeah, the producers aren't always there to keep watch of their own cattle.
Right.
So what is going on? You know, that's something that.
Yeah. Right. I wonder, Hugh, if you can comment. You, I'm sure, work with organizations in other provinces similar to yours. Is this a topic that is being discussed in other provinces as well? And is there any sort of coordinated effort to try and curb this problem?
Yes, there. We do communicate with both Alberta, and we have Saskatchewan inspectors that actively work in Manitoba at the sales barns. So yes, it is an ongoing thing, monitoring the brands coming in. Just to touch a base on what Owen was speaking on earlier, like there's a lot of a pre-existing civil arrangements, whether it's a cattle share agreement. And they lots of times go wrong and turn into a civil matter or a fraudulent matter. And that's where, you know, some of these so-called missing stolen cattle also come into our system. The livestock strays from their location and are not returned to the owner is another thing where the stray animal, the livestock, which are harbored by the finder, makes up the majority of our provincial files. And it's a lot of time where it can be simply just cattle have got out, and as Owen commented, they fail to return to the proper owner.
Right. So maybe this is a good time to talk about, and Chad, maybe I'll come to you on this, how livestock identification and traceability rules help. Now, I'm gonna put this caveat out here right now. The CFI traceability rules have been a hot topic over the last little while I've seen on social media. I don't want to get too deep into the changes that are coming up. We will do a segment on that in the near future. But for the purposes of theft and the discussion that we're talking right now, Chad, can you talk about what is there in terms of what can help or prevent cattle theft?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Hugh and the Livestock Services of Saskatchewan play an integral role in livestock identification. And for those of us located on the east side of the province, Manitoba does not have ground inspection. And so this makes it an opportunity for theft or cattle to be sold in Manitoba without brand inspection to be required. Now, Hugh and his counterparts do work on a Saskatchewan base in some of the auction marts over there, which is greatly appreciated. But, you know, I think Manitoba is working on bringing on brand inspection in Manitoba, which would help. As well, they're looking at bringing on an inspector, someone like Owen Third, to help out with that. And so, you know, Saskatchewan Cattle Association and our producers are very thankful of Owen and what he does and the ability to just give him a call and say, listen, this is a problem we have, you know, and have some immediate response. And that's been just wonderful for our producers.
Are the regulations, do they meet the purpose, or are they strong enough, I guess, maybe, Chad, is what I'm asking, when it comes to the issue of protecting against theft?
Well, I think Hugh could help us out a little bit there, but I believe the regulations are strong enough on brand inspection to be able to look after the producers in situations of fraud or situations of theft or that type of thing, to be able to use the brand inspectors as a tool for producers, as well as for Owen to use in his investigations also.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, Hugh, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yes, Chad, like at this time, we do have livestock inspectors from Saskatchewan or working for LSF at all Manitoba-approved markets where cattle are traded. So all cattle that come out of Saskatchewan and are sold at these markets are inspected by a brand inspector representing LSF.
Right.
There's approximately, you know, 17,000 active Saskatchewan producers annually in the province. Wow. And about 14,000 active registered brands. And the use of a registered brand remains the most affordable ownership for protection. I mean, it's a cheap tool. It's $50 for a 4-year personal brand and $250 for a 20-year corporate entity brand. So again, a registered brand, you know, is a ownership, meaning livestock bearing that brand is yours until proven otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes good sense. Owen, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say, Hugh, working with them, there's been a number of files where, because of maybe not cattle theft in the sense that we're speaking about cattle theft, more the frauds, you know.
Deals gone bad.
Right. That the brand has saved the producer. So, it's a cost. It's not a big cost. Branding is work. You can talk to Chad about that. But, you know, it's a way to help yourself when it comes to deterrence, for sure.
For sure. So on that note, we are going to take our next break. But Chad, I did see a text on the text line asking around, said one of our guests had mentioned not everybody brands their cattle. Hearing this discussion, the texter is wondering why not. Chad, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about that, because there's probably a few reasons, including work that Owen just talked about. It would be a big job. A couple other questions here around, is there a certain time of the year where we see this happening more? And question around technology that could help with this area as well. So these are all the types of questions that I welcome you to text in to us at 1-877-332-8255, and we will get your answers when we come back here on the Roundtable of Justice. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right. The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Welcome back to the Roundtable of Justice. Today, focused on cattle theft, three great guests. Chad Ross, chair of the Saskatchewan Cattle Association. Hugh Garrett, East District Manager for Livestock Services of Saskatchewan. And the Saskatchewan RCMP Livestock Investigator, Corporal Owen Third, all joining me today on this topic. Chad, there's a lot of text coming in on the text line, which I'm not surprised to see. I knew we'd get good uptake on this, but a number of people are saying, look, I don't know the first thing about the cattle industry, but tell me why. And then their question follows. And one of the questions from Dan is asking, if branding is such an easy way to help make sure that your cattle are, number one, not stolen, and number two, if they are, that they can be returned, why don't all producers brand? Your thoughts on that, Chad?
Yeah, Evan, you know, there's a wide range of operations within Saskatchewan as far as sizes and the amount of equipment they have and how they can logistically handle the cattle. So, you know, it could range from 30 head all the way to 1,000 head and how they can deal with their cattle. So also, you know, purebred operations may not want to put a brand on a purebred animal, the size of the operation, that type of thing, and whether they can just handle it. And one thing I really want to mention to your audience is that our producers have come a long ways as far as care of our livestock, and we administer a pain medication to the animals as we're doing these procedures to our animals to take away the pain that they can get through this. We do it at a young age, which is much easier than doing it at a older age, and just to look after and care for our livestock.
Mm-hmm. Chad Ross is chair of the Saskatchewan Cattle Association. Hugh, there's a couple of questions on the line around, is there a time of year? I know a lot of crime back to my old policing days, certain times of year, usually we see a spike in different types of crime. Is that the case with cattle theft?
Yes, the fall is the most common time for the losses to show up. A lot of these livestock, as Chad had said before, is over a vast area. They're not counted every day, whether it be big ranchers, whether it be community pastures. When the cattle are being returned home from the pastures in the fall is when the official count will be done, and that may be the first time they will notice, actually, that there's a loss has occurred. And much the same with the big producers, busy over a vast area, and the fall is the most common time for us to be contacted with losses.
I wonder about technology, and I did see a couple of texts coming in. One suggesting, you know, we put air tags in our luggage now so that we can find it when it goes missing. Is that something, Owen, that we see? I know there is that technology is available probably through the tags, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the technology is available. It's quite expensive. And again, Chad, as a producer, can probably speak better to that. I know in talking with producers more in the south across the line there, across the border, there are companies that do have technology available. Not sure how well it would stand up in our climate. There is technology. It is fairly expensive, and I think what they recommend is, you know, 15-20% of the herd to be tagged with these tags.
So it gives you a bit of a representation then.
That's right. Yeah. And it's feeding alive. You can look at your phone and mm-hmm. know exactly where your cattle are, that sort of thing. If tags can be cut out though, in this situation, if those tags aren't moving, sends the producer a notification to
it looks like it's there.
Yeah,
right?
Either they can determine it's been cut out, which may represent a theft, or you know, perhaps they've got disease matter issues.
Right. Right. So, Chad, you know, I think back to you and I had this talk at Agribition when we chatted. But I grew up on a very it was a mixed farm, so we had cattle, but we also were grain farmers as well. But our cattle operation was very small compared to some of these big ranch operations we see today. My dad could go out and fairly quickly tell you if all of his cattle were there or not. How do you do this if you are a rancher with hundreds of head of cattle? What is the practical way in which this is done, Chad?
Well, right now, a lot of it is just manually counting. I guess in our operation, we have a managed grazing system to manage our grass. So we actually move our cows every 3.5 days, and which gives us opportunity to be boots on the ground and see them every 3.5 days. There are some situations where producers will turn them out for the summer and not be able to see them, whether they're in the bush or whatever. And that's where it gets tough. But technology is coming. Crystal and I hosted a technology day with researchers here on the ranch this past August to try and develop ways to add technology to the beef industry to help us in these types of situations, whether it be tags or drones or GPS or whatever. And I believe it's coming. The challenge we've had in our industry the last 25 years is margins have been tight. Margins have been tight for our producers. And so to spend extra money on technology just wasn't in the cards. And so a lot of it come back to the manual part of it. So I think as we get more profitable in our industry, and it's much needed in the cow-calf side of our industry, I think these types of technologies will be used.
And, you know, I think about the work involved. I think we touched on this in an earlier segment, but maybe Chad or Hugh, I'll stick with one of you on that. I mean, ranching is very much a full-time, like, you don't take weekends. You're this is your job. This is your, and it ties you down to the ranch, to the farm for sure. All of these things we're talking about, great ideas, but administration just adds to the overall time, commitment, and energy that's spent on this.
Yeah, you're correct. And you know what? You know, consolidation in our industry has happened, and a lot of our operations have gotten bigger. We've had to manage, and so that adds another aspect to it. When you have larger herds, less people to look after, larger numbers, there's more opportunity, I guess, mm-hmm. for theft.
What about you know, a couple of people have suggested, whether it be trail cams, whether it be drones, you know, technology that way. Maybe I'll come back to you, Corporal Third. Is this something you're seeing more ranchers turn to when it comes to protecting the assets they have in their herd?
Yeah, we've, in cases, I guess, of reports, there have been producers who were able to provide footage of trail cams. I mean, in some situations, you know, it maybe doesn't provide a whole lot of information for us, license plates, that sort of thing. But it does give us an idea of what type of vehicle we're looking for, which helps for our detachments when they're doing the neighborhood inquiries and, you know, asking around, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are producers who utilize that. And I think it's a good thing if they're able to.
I mentioned this earlier, but this comes with, I think, rural policing in general, and it, not that it wouldn't work in urban policing, but you through your career, Owen, I'm sure you've seen, working in rural Saskatchewan, there's this real kind of vigilance to vehicles that maybe don't belong in the area. As an investigator, when you're going out, you're talking with farmers, talking with ranchers, that has to help you too, because people quickly recognize when something, that's not normal for this grid road that I travel and live on.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things in talking with producers, we try to say, hey, if you're, you know, if you are moving cattle, you got cattle sitting in a corral by the road waiting to, you know, you can only take so many on a trip, right? So, you know, just if you can, let your neighbors know what you're doing, so that they do see something strange, because mm-hmm. it's happened in the past where there's been, you know, a pen of eight heifers that have gone missing between trips, and where'd they go?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take our last break. When we come back, why does this matter? It obviously matters to producers. I mean, this, we're talking in some cases, could be thousands of dollars lost through a theft. But it matters to the general public. It matters to society. I'm going to get Hugh and Chad to talk a little bit about the impact this can have on everything from food security to insurance rates and everything else in between when we wrap up our segment here on the Roundtable of Justice talking cattle theft today. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right. The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Welcome back to the Roundtable of Justice as we finish up our conversation on cattle theft, or cattle rustling, as it's known. Thank you to everyone who has texted in questions. I've had great conversations with Hugh Garrett, who is with Livestock Services of Saskatchewan, Chad Ross with the Saskatchewan Cattle Association, and Corporal Owen Third, who is farm kid himself. We just talked in the break, born and raised on a farm here in Saskatchewan, but with the RCMP as a livestock investigator. Hugh, if I come back to you, let's talk about the greater impact. Obviously, that we know what the impact is to the actual producer who loses cattle through theft, but can you speak about the greater impact on society that this crime has?
I think the financial cost is the major strain on it, with animals being between $3,000 and $7,000, depending on the commercial end of it. So we also see lack of trust amongst producers when cattle are missing. One of the common things, like, well, some of our files are purely local in nature. Many stem from relationships that are spread across the province and beyond. For example, 50,000 plus head of cattle move to Saskatchewan each year from Alberta for custom grazing, and many thousands of head are moved over a distance to remote grazing within the province. So in that effect, there's a big trust thing right across.
Right. Yeah, it's impact. That's a big number. 50,000, did you say, that move into our province to graze in the summer?
Yeah, 50,000 plus head of cattle move to Saskatchewan each year from Alberta for a custom grazing.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't realize, like, Chad, you made the comment you're moving your herd every 3 or 4 days. I think a lot of people don't realize that. They feel like you have cattle, they're on your farm, they eat the grass that's on your farm. But this is a very, you know, it's a very calculated and strategic thing, is it not, Chad?
Well, it is. The life of an animal that goes through the different owners and whatever is fairly complex. And so tracking that animal is very important. And I also wanted to mention, you know, commerce and the confidence of our lenders and the banking industry, because a lot of us do have loans on these cattle. And so to be able to identify these cattle for our lenders is very important. And those lenders have to have confidence in our systems that are in place to make sure that there isn't fraud or that type of thing as cattle go through their life cycle.
Right. Okay. I'm going to give each of you a chance for kind of a closing comment. If you could make one change or had one piece of advice, what would it be? Chad, maybe I'll start with you.
Well, I'd just like to say on behalf of our producers and Saskatchewan Cattle Association, I appreciate the RCMP and the having Owen there to be able to call. And if there is problems for our producers, to go ahead and reach out to us or Owen and try and get that help. And we didn't have that before. And so just truly appreciate that. And hopefully maybe that expands in the future to have some help for Owen down the road, but we really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Hugh from the Livestock Services of Saskatchewan.
I wanted to say the importance of the branding of livestock for identification purposes, manifests that are correctly filled out when transporting animals, ownership handshakes. Them deals are a good thing in the past, but, you know, people need to do their due diligence and have contracts made out. And again, I would also like to thank Owen and the relationship we have with him and the RCMP.
Good stuff. Owen, what would your advice be? You're looking at this from an investigative standpoint, but obviously you also try and provide advice that prevents this type of crime from happening. Just some thoughts.
Yeah, well, along the lines of what you just said and Chad, like throughout our discussion today, but yeah, registering a brand, keeping good records, checking your cattle often, of course, and which isn't always easy, but making sure that, you know, you got cows there, reporting anything. If you do identify you're missing, let LSS know. They always let me know of all any missing reports, so I keep track of them as well. And manifest. If you're filling out a manifest, someone's coming to buy cattle from you. I mean, again, we talked about the contract obligations, making sure you got a manifest. Yeah, the only other thing I'd like to say is, you know, just a shout out to everyone, all my partners that I deal with, that makes the job a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Stock growers, cattle associations, Ministry of Ag, LSS, our detachments, they're the ones that are in some cases taking the files. But, you know, there's a lot of great members out there that I work with. And producers, we haven't talked about the good producers. So there's a lot of good producers out there that work with their neighbors and make our job easier.
Good stuff. This has been a good discussion. We purposefully steered away from the CFIA traceability requirement changes. That will be a separate discussion. In fact, I'm hoping in the next couple of days we will have a guest on that and open up some phone lines there. But just on this topic of theft, cattle theft, thank you so much, Corporal Owen Third, for joining us, Saskatchewan RCMP Livestock Investigator. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Chad Ross, the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattle Association. Thanks for coming back on the show, Chad.
Thanks, Evan.
And Hugh Garrett with Livestock Services of Saskatchewan. Hugh, greatly appreciate your contribution to this as well.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Roundtable of Justice here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.